Hello, heroes, and welcome to Adventure. Wait, hold on. Before we start, I wanted to let people know a few things about this episode. We're doing the Magic School Bus, but in true fanfiction fashion, we've decided to put our own spin on it. Liz Anderson is Miss Frizzle in this adventure, and she's decided to play the Frizz as an immortal science demon. It's wild. A lot of this episode is very, very scary. Not as scary as anti-vaxxers, though. Consider yourself warned. Also, I learned that after we planned this episode, there's a College Humor parody of the Magic School Bus with similar material. I think you'll find ours is a pretty different take from theirs, so I'm not overly worried about it. With all that out of the way, seatbelts, everyone. Hello, heroes, and welcome to another episode of Adventure. We are doing the Magic School Bus this week. Before we get too far into it, I wanted to introduce our cast. I will start with Darcy Ross. Darcy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here and to learn a lot together.
Yes, I'm sure, Darcy, you will be learning a lot from this children's science show.
Yes.
Darcy, why don't you introduce yourself and plug your stuff so that we can get that out of the way so I don't screw up again.
Super cool. So I'm Darcy Ross. I'm at Darcy L. Ross on Twitter and the things. I do a lot of, I'm a scientist by day making mad Molluscan monsters, and by night I think a lot about role-playing games. I have a podcast called Cypher Speak. I write for Gnome Stew, the blog, and I work with Contessa, an organization that works with highlighting minority groups in gaming. And so you should all come contact me on those things and like play games with Contessa.
Super cool. And Darcy, you will be playing?
I will be playing Phoebe, who is in for a big surprise at this new school that she just can't seem to get used to.
4 years
after
later.
4 years.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be playing Hermione slash, you know, Darcy growing up, which is D.A., the lovely Dorothy Ann with a book for every occasion.
Awesome. Okay. Cachel?
Hi, I'm Cachel Wittig. I'm just the local polyglot dish towel saleswoman here in Chicago. I just play role-playing games for fun. I don't really have anything to plug except my Twitter, which is ScriptKitty. That's no I's, no vowels, just at the end a little Y. ScriptKitty.
Awesome.
The sometimes vowel.
Oh, yeah. No.
The sometimes vowel.
I used to have underscores, but those didn't work too well.
Those were excessive.
Yeah, just it's a little too much. And I'm really excited to be here today. I'm playing two characters. I'm playing the lovely Janet. She's not lovely. She's Arnie's cousin. And I'm also playing Wanda, who is just the class tomboy.
Come on, you Weasley wimps. We've also got Riley.
Hey, what's up?
Say hi to the people, Riley.
Hi, everybody. Hey, it's Riley. I'm on Twitter at RevRyeBread, Rev like Reverend, RyeBread like Rye. Bread. You can also find me at Alien Happy Hour, where we do podcasts and videos on YouTube and all that good stuff. I host Intended Audience and Lucky Sevens there, and maybe something else soon. I don't know.
Ooh.
Podcasts are a problem for me.
I mean, look, this is probably going to come out after you've already launched whatever it is, to be honest.
More than likely.
Yeah.
And then, so I am here playing, I'm playing Ralphie, everyone's good friend. The guy just wants to believe in everything, and he's just, you know, he's trying his best out there to do as little as possible.
And the opposite of Ralphie.
And then the opposite of that in Arnold, you know, butt of every joke. You should have stayed home. Just stay home once, bud.
And I like Arnold because there always needs to be one person who is the C-3PO of the group who's always just like, why are we doing this? This is insane. This is dangerous.
Yep.
It's called the audience surrogate.
The audience surrogate, yes. And that voice is coming from
Liz Anderson, babies.
Hi.
Hi, Liz. Why don't you plug your stuff, and then you can tell us about the demonic horror you'll be playing this week.
Eldritch Fiend.
Oh, God. So as far as plugs go, you may follow me at Lies Anderson. That's LiesAnderson on Twitter. I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm an improviser and comedian in the city, so I perform weekly at Comedy Sports Chicago. I don't know what my specific schedule is, so don't ask me. Coming up in June and July, I'm going to be in a directing program show at Second City. I'm going to be in, I'm putting up another run of my own show, the One Woman No Show in July.
Ooh, that was really awesome.
Yeah, on Mondays and at the Crowd Theater if you're interested in seeing that. And I'm also going to be a short run right before the July 4th weekend. I am in a radio play version of Independence Day.
Oh.
And I'm playing the president, who is Katharine Hepburn.
Oh,
it's
God.
Gonna
the
be
the role you were born to play.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's gonna be really fun. So wow. The next 2 months, I've got lots of opportunities for all my plugs. So, and then we're gonna talk about the character I am playing. As Pranks knows, I am bad at role playing games and don't like doing dice. So I chose to play the character that is bound by no rules. Miss Valerie Frizzle. Miss, in fact, she's unmarried unless she's married to Science. Miss Frizzle is what would seem to be a mild-mannered education professional who is actually a witch, who enjoys taking children on dangerous field trips to teach them lessons in which they mostly teach themselves. She does very little instruction and has very little cause for safety or any interest in really doing what her real job is. She has a familiar called Liz. is her lizard, and she she also has a demonic sentient transportation device, which
like
is
a mount.
Called like a mount called the Magic School Bus. Who is I'm going to say she it's a actual being that she has charmed and is there against its will. I'm
oh, yeah, say, I was, yeah. I think it's something that she has trapped in a vessel.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. I think trapped over
charm. Oh, yeah, someone's soul is inside of the bus.
That class used to be one bigger.
Yeah, maybe one of her ex-wives or husbands is in that. Is in that.
Because it has so much personality but is controlled and doesn't want to be, it's, yeah, she's...
So, we've covered most of the players here. I am Pranks Paul. You can find me on this podcast, which I guess you're already listening to, ideally. I don't know how you're getting here without listening to it. How'd you get here? You can find me on Twitter at RogueTaleDR or to send in stuff for this show at Adventure_OSN. You can also find me on Never Tell Me Pods, a small show I do where I talk about Star Wars, which is a thing I kind of like. This week, I will be playing the rest of the kids. The kids who were not chosen were Tim. Tim's last name was not given in the show, but in the run of books, his last name is Jamal. He's an African American kid who wears a long sleeved blue shirt with a green collar and jeans. I learned about Tim. One of the most interesting things about him is that a lot of people ship him with Phoebe, which is very weird. Like when they do Magic School Bus aged up art, it's always a Tim and Phoebe ship thing. And
hang out a lot.
They hang out a lot. And like, so this ship is based on this one moment in the Magic School Bus Sound Museum thing where Tim, completely unprompted, grabs Phoebe's hand and is like, Phoebe, let's go try the drums. And it's like the most personality Tim has shown. So like everybody's like, oh, wow, that means something.
He's in love. Oh my gosh, he's in love.
But he's also a very talented artist. And like, he's kind of a cool kid who is kind of bland in a protagonist type way. So I think that's Tim. He's often sketching Liz, and he's usually walking to class with Phoebe. The other character I'll be playing two more characters. I'll be playing Keisha. Keisha's actually one of my favorite characters. She's an African-American girl who has her, like, hair done up a little bit, and she has a red hair tie and has a sweater with a diagonal line down it. I think it's, like, purple, and then there's a red diagonal line.
It's a pretty great sweater.
It's blue. And it's a dope-looking sweater. I agree. So of all the kids, Keisha is, like, the resident skeptic who's the most likely to have, like, a snarky line. I love her to death. I actually think she's my second favorite kid after Carlos. Her catchphrases are like, oh, bad, oh, bad, oh, bad, bad, bad. And let's get the facts, which is what she normally does after, like, the other kids are dicking around. She's like, no, we need to learn something. We need to learn something.
She's really sarcastic.
Yes, she's very sarcastic.
Oh, boy.
She's sarcastic, but also on Team Frizzle, which is different from, like, some of the other antagonists that come across, like Janet, for example. Okay. And then finally we come to my favorite kid, Carlos. Carlos is a latex kid who wears like a blue hoodie with a yellow undershirt. And I would describe him, but he's basically just me. So like he just makes a lot of garbage jokes, doesn't take anything seriously. And like, I am Carlos. And he doesn't have a catchphrase so much as people just groaning at his puns and jokes, which is,
puns.
I can't relate to that at all.
America's greatest trash
real,
monster.
Yes. Real stretch for you.
It's really upsetting.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we can just jump into the actual game, right?
Sure. No. I have a question. Do you want to explain how fate works for, you know, for the audience?
Sure. Let's explain how fate works a little bit. Why don't we go around and talk about, like, what our characters have on their sheets, cool. You know? Yeah. So, Darcy, do you want to start?
Yes, because I know everything, but maybe they don't.
That's a good point, Ms. Frizzle. We should educate our audience.
Yeah, please. Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. And in proper Frizzle style, the students are doing the actual educating. Anyway.
Darcy, why don't you talk about your character? So we're using the fate system here, and I think the salient points of the fate system are that they use a system of dice called fudge dice, and fudge dice have two pluses, two blanks, and two minuses, and you use that as sort of a decision-making mechanism, and you have skills in your sheet. But yeah, why don't you tell us about fate? Because I think you know more about fate than anyone else at the table. So.
Oh boy, I'm not good at fate, but I think one of the fundamental aspects of it are its aspects, right?
Yeah, so, it's kind Darcy. Of...
I know I'm bleeding into Carlos here, but so what you do is the world around you is filled with aspects. The table we are recording on is a sturdy table. It, you know, it has the aspect sturdy, and so mm-hmm. we can. And so, what fate works by is you build characters by assigning them major aspects that you can then call on in situations. And so, like for Phoebe's example, so Phoebe is this fabulous, you know, and I haven't described her, and she's so cute, so mm-hmm. I have to describe her. So she's a brunette Caucasian girl, and she's got this adorable yellow headband, and maybe all of these things could be aspects if we were playing a story that really relied on the
fashion. On fashion.
On fashion, mm-hmm. which, you know, maybe
someday.
In future, exactly. Yeah. But her high concept is that, you know, I've written it as it can either be like a statement or a quote that sort of encapsulates what she's about. And so her high concept is, I speak for the animals. And so she's this really empathetic girl. She loves all animals, even the gross ones, like bugs, which I empathize with very deeply. And so that sort of characterizes her in that way. And then she has a trouble. And so this is the thing that's another major aspect of her that's going to get her into exciting and interesting complications. So that's at my old school. And that kind of represents her, like, naivete. She doesn't really know what's going on here. She's just kind of, she's a naive girl. And that gets into exciting, fun trouble that her good heart will get her out of, and her friendships. So those are kind of what her aspects are. Should I talk about?
Yeah, why don't you talk about
them?
DA as well?
Oh, DA. Okay. Yeah. So DA, her high concept is a catchphrase she can be heard saying a lot, which is, according to my research. And that represents the fact that she has all these books that she, you know, pulls out of this bag of holding and consults. She has a book for every situation, so she really knows her stuff. But her trouble is that she has her nose in a book. So it's the fact that, you know, she's really consulting books all the time, and she doesn't know how to you know, sort of act on that knowledge as well as the other classmates do. So that's her trouble.
Yeah, so as an example, so Darcy kindly gave us the example of the two aspects that our characters have. Ms. Frizzle is also kind of going to be a GM character here, so Liz can challenge the other members of the class by, like, playing on their weaknesses or aspects by saying, like, okay, well, at my old school, and Phoebe suddenly becomes afraid of this new thing that they are doing, and then Liz would give Darcy a token, and Darcy could accept that compel, and it would complicate her life or force her to make a roll or cause some sort of event that would cause a complication in whatever is going on. So every single character has one high concept that sort of defines them and an aspect that is something that the GM or Ms. Frizzle could play upon to create story points or mm-hmm. those sorts of things.
Gotcha.
All right. Kitchell, your two characters?
All right, so I'm going to be playing...
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you describe DA physically as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I could use some help here because I didn't...
Pigtails, purple sweater, and then, like, a skirt, a blue skirt, maybe?
She has, like, a romper.
Actually, yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the little, like, straps and the buttons. It's very cute, and little blonde pigtails.
I think a lot of the fashion in Magic School Bus is, like, so they're wearing the same outfits every day because it's a cartoon thing, but their outfits are very, like, iconic and very, like, mm-hmm. They contrast a lot, which is interesting because there's, like, eight kids, so. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So I will be playing Wanda Lee. She has the last name. She's the Asian American child in the show. She is your, you know, typical tomboy. She's the shortest, but she's the fastest. Her high concept is tomboy with a girly streak.
Mm-hmm.
So she wears pink, but she's also very rough and tumble. And then her trouble is she's an adrenaline junkie. Like, she will abandon ship just to catch that next wave.
Just to feel.
Like, just... And so, yeah, she's wearing pink. And then I'm also playing Janet, who basically looks like Arnie, but is the female version of Arnie. She's actually Arnie's cousin.
And she has a J.
Yes.
Continuing the proud tradition of identical cousins in TV.
Mm-hmm. Because, and Janet is, she's like vaguely an antagonistic character.
Not vaguely.
She is an antagonistic character.
Yeah.
So her high concept is me, myself, and I. Mm-hmm. She will constantly try to, you know, dick over the class and get the golden monkey if they're hanging out in the ruins or whatever she can get her hands on. And then her trouble is she doesn't even go here. Fun fact, she doesn't go to their school. She just randomly shows up.
Yep.
And hangs out on these adventures.
And it's never explained why.
No.
Is she like shadowing to transfer?
Nope. No. She doesn't.
She's older than them.
Yeah.
I think she's older.
She's older, nice. And she spends the entire, every day talking about how much better her school is. So she doesn't even want to transfer. She's there. She's basically there to bully them.
Oh, yeah. And she's a huge know-it-all.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know it all.
No, she definitely doesn't.
That's what I get her.
Yep.
She's there for them to be like, no. No, fucking no, that's not what it is. Stop saying no.
The other nice thing about Janet I like as a plot device is that because she's so dismissive of how cool everything else is going on, it makes the other characters in the class who would normally be like, Miss Frizzle's a total weirdo and puts us in danger all the time, instead being like, they band together and they're like, no, Miss Frizzle is the best. Our class is the best. And it's very funny to me because normally they're like, we could die. But when Janet's around, they're always like, no, fuck you. Our class is the best.
Very protective.
You shut up and sit down. Yeah.
She's a common enemy.
Exactly. And we described Janet and we described Wanda as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then I got my boy Ralphie.
Mm-hmm.
He is, you know, he's always trying to avoid major responsibilities but believe in magic and everything. He's like, he's the anti-skeptic. He just wants to accept straight up all of it. And he's also athletic. He likes sports. He likes eating. He's wearing a green shirt with a big old red R on it and a backwards hat, uh-huh. Red pants, red tennis shoes, and he's just an excitable young lad. His abilities, aspects, that's the word. High concept is friend of the class, because he just kind of wants to bro it up with everybody. He's everyone's number one guy, and his trouble is work smarter, not harder. If he can skirt a responsibility, he'll do it. If he can find a way to be like, no, let's, instead of me washing this bus, which is my duty as an elementary school student for some reason, let's build a robot. That makes sense. That's a good call.
Because building a robot is obviously easier than washing a bus.
For sure. And then next up is Arnold. And Arnold, he's wearing he's got the yellow and white striped polo. He's got curly orange hair and glasses. Because how are you going to know who the nerd is if he doesn't have glasses?
It's true.
His high concept is, I knew I should have stayed home today. Because he constantly regrets being here for these field trips. this isn't where he wants to be. This isn't what he wants to do. That's just how the hand that life dealt him.
One of the things I love about Arnold is that he lives in fear that a field trip might happen, and it's always happening.
It's like, stop going to class.
Yeah,
you know, it happens every day,
and you know you're supposed to stay home, and you never do.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't. Yeah.
I love this. Recently, there was a parent-teacher episode of Magic School Bus. Not recently. Recently, I watched a parent-teacher episode of Magic School Bus. And Miss Frizzle goes directly up to Arnold's parents and is like, and Arnold loves field trips. And it's like, what? Why would you say that? That's
a lie.
You're just lying directly to his parents. Like, this is the worst experience of his life.
It's the one thing that he doesn't like.
Yeah.
It's the one thing. Everything else is fine.
Well, you know why he doesn't like it? Because in the second episode, they go inside of him. They don't ask him. They just go right on in.
Yep.
Well, isn't the first episode the space episode?
Yeah.
And that one...
He nearly dies.
He freezes in the vacuum of space.
Yes.
I'd not like... I would avoid field trips as well. Yeah, he got better.
Yeah.
Via magic.
It's like there's a lot of consent issues with the school bus.
It's not a permission slip.
Oh, boy.
And then,
yeah, I would love to see the permission slips
oh my
they
God,
have to
yeah.
sign for these.
It just says field trip? Yep. And Arnold's trouble is a butt of every joke, because he is just the butt of every joke.
Oh, buddy.
He's just that poor boy.
The show loves messing with him, too, because he's so much, like, you know, he's 3PO, you know? He's constantly getting blasted apart, inconvenienced, like...
Blasted apart?
Well, not Arnold. I'm thinking a lot about 3PO. I need something about Star Wars, sorry.
Okay. There's that time where Ralphie carried him on his back, yeah, and he didn't have arms or legs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what? Oh, no.
And finally, Liz, do you want to talk about your characters?
I think we could talk about her, description?
Yeah, so Liz, for the record, Liz hasn't built characters because, like, Miss Frizzle is a magical being, and so we're not actually going to use mechanics for her, but yeah, she will be spending fate tokens to compel the rest of the characters and stuff like that. And then Liz, we also don't have to do mechanics for either. You're familiar, sorry.
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Oh, yeah. We'll cut all this and make it sound like we did this intentionally.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Are we ready?
Seatbelts, everyone!
Please let this be a normal field trip.
With the frizz?
No way!
Cruising on down Main Street. You're relaxing, feeling good.
Yeah!
Next thing that you know, you're seeing...
Wahoo! Octopus in the neighborhood.
Surfing on a sound wave. Swinging through the stars. Take a left at your intestine. Take your second right past Mars on the magic school bus.
Navigate a nostril. Climb on the magic school bus. Spank a plankton too.
Take that.
Climb on the magic school bus.
Raft a river of lava.
On the magic school bus.
Such a fine thing to do.
Whoa. So strap your buns right to the seat. Come on in and don't be shy.
Come on.
Just to make your day complete. You might get baked into a pie on the magic school bus.
Step inside. It's a wilder ride. Come on.
Ride on the magic school bus.
Beep, 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 beep. So imagine the magic school bus, like, title card here. You know, it's the little bus spaceship with stars and... The magic school bus is a spaceship going down, and then there's a circle, and then inside it says, "The magic school bus gets needled." So it's another beautiful day at Walkerville Elementary School. The kids in Miss Frizzle's class are all getting dropped off by their parents, and they're making their entrances. So why don't we one by one talk about what all the kids are doing and saying as they walk into Miss Frizzle's class, and then we'll talk about what you actually see, because one of the fun things about magic school bus is that every week the classroom is decorated or themed for whatever it is they're going to be learning about. Mm-hmm. And there's always a skeleton with a top hat that's also decorated and doing creepy, like a magically animated skeleton that reacts sunglasses. In the background with sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Do we know a name? I call him Mr. Bones in my head, but I don't think that's real. I think that I just came up with that.
That sounds right to me.
That sounds right.
We're going to call him Mr. Bones in this fan fiction. Okay. So who's arriving first? Who do we think would be the first person who shows up to class?
I think it would be DA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She lives there for this. Yeah.
You don't see her entering. She's just perched.
It's unclear whether DA spent the night
in the library.
There's a pile of books next to her. She's got a coffee.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's got that medical diagnostic book of the DSM.
Oh, no.
She's trying to diagnose herself.
Oh.
Why can't I feel?
What are these things that people say are feelings?
So DA's already in the classroom, so she's not technically entering. All right, who's next?
I'd say probably Wanda. Mm-hmm. She's been up for 3 hours, you know. She had ballet in the morning, so she's ready to go.
Oh, wow.
Go get her.
Oh, yes.
And Wanda doesn't need coffee.
No, Wanda is coffee incarnate.
They're 9. Should they be having coffee?
They are surprisingly capable 9-year-olds.
Fair point.
I bet DA drinks coffee. Mm-hmm.
Probably, yeah.
She drinks decaf.
They're all like coffee junkies.
Yeah.
These poor kids.
Probably thinks emergency.
Oh, God.
No, because they have to stay up all night because they don't do work in class. No. They have to do all their homework.
That's true. Also, we never see them in any other class. So I imagine that Miss Frizzle's activities take up 8 hours every day. Mm-hmm. And then all of the supplemental learning happens at home.
Well, it's elementary school, right? Yeah. So elementary school is only one teacher.
Yeah, but they have standardized tests.
Oh,
Well, at Phoebe's old school, they had different teachers. So.
Speaking of Phoebe.
Yeah, I think Phoebe gets a big yawn, and as she's entering the classroom, she's a little more mellow than the other kids. But she looks, ready to take on a new day that may or may not entail a field trip.
But there is a reason that you're a little bit down relative to most days.
True. True.
Why don't we talk a little bit about that after the other characters enter?
I think next up would be Arnie and Janet would enter at roughly the same time.
Yeah.
Arnie is like looking around and noticing that, oh, it's decorated today.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this can't mean. No, it can't. It can't. It just
can't. A chill runs down your spine.
Yep. There's a sound of like the door slamming somewhere, and he just sits down in his seat. Just, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
after no. Arnold enters, the door does slam shut behind him. It doesn't do that for any of the other kids, but as though to trap him in.
And then Janet opens it. And was like, "Hey, got you again."
Oh, please don't. Please don't.
Oh, no.
The other kids, I assume, react with a lot of disgust that Janet's here for some reason. No one questions it. They're not like, "You don't even go here," but you know. It's a Janet day, and everyone knows what that means.
It cuts to Mr. Bones, and he's shaking his head.
Mr. Bones, like, he can't actually make a disgusted expression, but as close as a skeleton can get, he's making faces behind Janet the whole time.
He tugs.
Yeah. He does have a bow tie.
He
so.
He
tugs at his collarbone.
Oh!
Oh, my gosh.
Wah, wah, wah.
Another previous lover.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that really adds a dimension to everything that's going on. The idea that she's, like, just enchanted. It's like a beautiful Beauty and the Beast situation where she's just cursed people. And
everything, except everyone who has ever wronged me lives in my classroom.
Yeah. Actually, that scans. That works. That really.
All right, so who are we missing? Did everybody's...
Ralphie.
Yeah. Yep.
Ralphie strolls in and he's probably still eating out of like a box of cereal that he just like, it's like, oh, I'm going home, I gotta take this with me. And
yeah.
Just like handing cereal into his mouth, dry cereal to sit down.
I envision Ralphie as a person who always has food in one hand and like a skateboard in the other.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
A Game Boy, one of those
this
two.
This is modern.
Yeah.
He is not even modern anymore. Heelys. And he's just and skates right on.
Oh, he absolutely has a fidget spinner.
Oh
yeah.
Absolutely.
He's that kid. Yeah, totally. Okay, who are we missing any other kids other than... Okay, so GM kids. So Tim walks in with Phoebe, because the Tim-Phoebe thing is canon for this fan fiction. And then Keisha walks in, and Keisha is basically like mean mugging Janet, because Keisha hates Janet, I decided. And so Keisha's going to basically be like concentrating on your weaknesses and trying to bring you down, because Keisha knows that you are going to cause problems.
That's right.
And so Carlos walks in, and I think Carlos's current activity is trying to figure out what the field trip is going to be about so that he can immediately start figuring out what terrible jokes to make. So Carlos is like, there's a little HUD that appears and he's like scanning the room trying to figure out exactly what it could be about.
What is this? Oh, what is this?
And I think he's going to come and sit down next to DA because he knows DA will be able to figure out what the field trip's about and he can use that to turn it into garbage humor. So that's Carlos's. Exactly. So Phoebe, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's been going on at your house right now? Like maybe we can do a flashback back to you talking to your parents or...
Yeah. So Phoebe's back at home. She's got it's a living room and there's terraria of various animals. She's got reptiles, amphibians. She's got herps everywhere. She's got some fish and like maybe some cicadas. You know, some like really big cicadas.
Oh, she would.
She loves bugs. But she's sitting in her happy place and she's got sitting cross-legged on the floor and her parents are explaining to her, and she says, "So why can't Cousin Philip come to class? Why won't I be seeing him at school?"
Well, and her father like sort of clears his throat and he doesn't really know exactly what to say, but he says, like, "Well, it's not like he would be in class with you. He is 5 years old. He would be just entering school, and I know you were really looking forward to having him in your school, but he actually has to be homeschooled right now because of a particular rule that that schools have in this district."
But Janet gets to come to class, and she shouldn't be there.
I agree, she shouldn't be there, but Janet shouldn't be in the classroom for different reasons. As far as I know, Janet's parents have given her all of her shots.
So they don't want to give Cousin Philip his shots?
Well, you might remember, Phoebe, that when you were just starting at your old school, we took you to the doctor and we had you get a course of vaccinations. And then when you started at Walkerville Elementary School, which is in a different district, we had to renew your vaccinations. It's something that we tend to do and they check up on every time you enter a new school district. Philip has never been in school before, so he needed a new course of vaccinations. When you are around... between 3 and 5, a lot of parents start giving their children a set of shots which are designed to make sure that they don't catch diseases that are common in early childhood. And your aunts decided not to give Philip his shots.
Can we, like, ripple away back to where I'm telling Tim this?
Yes, and it's like Magic School Bus always does the, like cloud, the cloud edges thing. And so, Phoebe is talking to Tim about all of this.
And...
I know that my aunts, you know, love their son and love my cousin and just want to keep him safe, but I can't understand if vaccines make me healthy. Why don't I don't understand why they don't want Philip to have that have the vaccines.
Tim says that he think I'm not going to give Tim a voice because I think that's a funny bit considering they don't give Tim a voice either.
Yeah, true.
Tim says that he thinks
Tim says
that he that sounds really hard, but he thinks that your dad might also be feeling a little bit awkward about having to explain something like that to you. It doesn't sound like he particularly agrees, but people might have different opinions on these kinds of shots. But he does all this while he's like sketching Liz, who is Liz is in like a so Liz is like a lizard. She's an iguana, yes. But she also
every time you say he's sketching Liz, I am looking at Liz Anderson, and I'm like, well,
here's the
funny
thing. I'm also there.
Yes. Not only is Janet not supposed to be there, but neither is Liz Anderson.
Yes. I am also in this scene.
A woman in her 20s is in this classroom.
Just assume that I'm always there.
She's always around. Yeah. I guess you guys are all getting ready to. You're in your chairs, and the bell's about to ring. And
the Frizz enters, chatting with the school nurse, is having a grand old conversation about all of the good doctoring she's been doing. Oh well, thank you for giving me all of my medicines that I need for my Amazonian voyage. I'm very excited, but I must be going along.
I can't believe this was covered by the school district's insurance, but it looks like your paperwork's all in order.
Boy. The property taxes here sure make investments into our school system easy. Anyway, goodbye.
and basically the nurse like suddenly realizes he had something better to do and like does an about face and walks like as if by magic out of the room.
Good morning, class.
Miss Frizzle.
How are we all doing this morning?
And what are you wearing, Liz?
Oh, what am I wearing? Let me tell you. So Frizz walks in. She's clackety-clacking on her heels. Her earrings today are little vials that are filled with liquid, and they're just hanging off like stuff that you would use to hold your medicines and your various vaccines. Her heels are regular heels, but the heels themselves are needles.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and they're like actually like super super sharp.
Syringe flares on the side.
Yeah.
Oh god.
And her dress is covered in kind of like pictures of bacteria and some antigens and kind of like those things that you see
geometric
in textbooks.
Protein capsules.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
that
like,
looks really
like this
cool.
Is not what it really looks like, but this right. Is what we say it looks like. And then her belt is a wide belt that if you look closely, it has writing on it, and the writing says, "Death is for the stupid."
Oh my god. Survival of the fittest, class.
Students. Oh, Phoebe, you look down today. What's going on?
She knows your thoughts.
Yeah, exactly.
I prepared all night for this.
So
tell me, let's get the story going.
And we have a time zoop forward as she finishes the story. So, Miss Frizzle, you know, why... what is it about vaccines that make some people believe that they're healthy for you and some people believe that they could hurt people like my cousin?
Well, human nature is something very interesting. We have the ability to enjoy free will, and free will means the ability to be incorrect. And so sometimes people choose to be incorrect because they like to be, what was that class?
Contrarians!
Contrarians are dangerous people, and sometimes we must identify those contrarians and deal with them accordingly. But back to your other question.
Carlos leaps out of his seat and says, I'm sick of contrarians!
Carlos!
Frizz steps down and looks at Carlos straight in the eye. Carlos, I've lived 1,000 lives. I've seen both heaven and hell, and I don't know much. But I know where you're going after you die. And it's your actions that will determine the fate that you seek. But know that I've seen it. Anyway, class!
Carlos is, like, he's standing stock still as though hypnotized when he makes eye contact with you. And then he sits back down quietly.
She's got a Galadriel, you know, situation going on that tones down afterwards.
The glower. But anyway, class, it seems as if the main reason why many people don't care for vaccines is because there's a question as to what you put in your body affects what happens in your body later on. That's the entire point, is it not? And there are those who think there are things in vaccines that make your body work improperly.
Keisha raises her hand.
Yes?
But Ms. Frizzle, let's get the facts. What happens when you put a vaccine in your body?
Oh, thank you for the leading question, Keisha. It seems like it's time for us to go on.
No, don't say it.
I'm going to say it.
Please don't.
I'm going to say it.
She's going to say it.
I'm going to say it.
Yes!
It's time for a field trip.
No.
Yay!
Yay! The class all cheers. Well, with the exception of one person.
One day.
All right, better be good.
Arnold, I assume you were sobbing.
Wait, who's that in the back? Is that Janet?
Hey, Frizz.
What are you doing here?
Well, I followed Arnold.
Arnie. I call him Arno now.
He says so many mean things.
Do you have your own class to be at?
Mom said I could do this, so I'm going to be here today.
I mean, all right. I only have enough suits for just my class. So
I'll stay.
No, I think we'll share. Anyway, boss, get in here.
So the bus, basically you hear the like doop, 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 doop. And then why don't you talk about the transformation of the bus?
So the bus is like parked outside. Of course, he's always like within eyesight because I want to make sure that the soul that lives inside the bus never escapes. So I must always be in my eye line. So the bus like crashes through the wall. Like into the door. It's fine. Everyone's very excited about it. So the bus.
We don't need to use doors.
Yes. The bus just looks like a regular bus right now. And how are we deciding who?
I think it should be the skeptic.
Okay. I think let's just all get in the bus and go on a nice jaunt. And then we'll end up at a certain place at a certain time. How does that sound, kids?
Sounds great.
All right. Pile in, everyone.
So Arnold is lagging behind. And I guess Wanda has thoughts about this.
Arno. Come on, Arno.
Oh, please, just one day. We can.
Don't worry, you're not going to get a shot.
Oh, I hate needles. Okay.
Do you want to talk about what the bus looks like right now? Or?
The bus is just a regular bus, and so we all get in the bus, and I'm driving because I love to drive so much.
And Liz is on your shoulder.
Yeah, Liz is on my shoulder. What is Liz wearing? Liz is...
Oh, is Liz in a little nurse's outfit?
No, yeah, a little nurse's hat.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, that's cute. I was going to go plague doctor. That's a little bit more dark.
Oh, my God.
No, I like that so much better.
I like that. That's so much better. Yeah, it has...
He's wearing the full robe, and, like, you can see him. He's starting to press sage into the beak.
Oh, yeah.
That's so creepy. Oh.
He was, like, sitting next to where Arnold's seat was, and he looks over and gets shocked. And Liz puts up a little mask.
Oh,
oh, my God.
That's so cute.
Winks.
And so we're driving. Oh, by the way, Phoebe, where does your cousin live?
At 223 at Cornell Street.
Cornell Street. Well, that's right on our way. Let's just take a look at her house.
So it's time to take chances, make mistakes, get messy.
Did you just bite my catchphrase? Did you bite it?
I was going to invoke an aspect.
Oh, okay.
Let me see. Who should I target?
Even Frizzle is bound by some rules.
Who do you want to target with this?
The aspect. Whom I want to? Of course, Janet.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Well, why don't you say the catchphrase then? Take chances, make mistakes.
Take chances, make mistakes, and get even.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So what are you going to do to Janet?
I'm going to remind me of your things.
She doesn't even go here.
She doesn't even go here, so I'm not part of the class. And then also me, myself, and I.
Mm-hmm.
I am number one. I look out for me. I'm conniving. I'm duplicitous. I like to steal.
Ooh, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
If Janet's deal is that she only looks out for number one, why don't we explore what would happen to Janet if she doesn't rely on anybody else getting vaccinated and she doesn't get vaccinated herself?
This is kind of the secret that she has. She's holding it as we go through this whole education process. She's keeping it very quiet that she, in fact, is not vaccinated.
Maybe she's not vaccinated. Her parents just lied.
Okay, excellent. Oh. Yeah, no, well...
I'm going to give you another fake point.
Because you threw such a hissy fit about getting needles.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So we'll give you a another fake point.
All right, well, my mom said that because we all have better hygiene and we all have better sanitation, that I didn't need to get a vaccination. So I'll be fine.
So in the front of the bus, Frizz just looks at Liz and kind of winks a little bit. Boing! Because we just overheard from the front.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, Janet's talking to DA and just like, well, didn't you read about that?
According to my research, hygiene alone cannot destroy the protein capsids of viruses that don't have lipid bilayers.
Look, nerd. I know what I'm talking about. My mom told me.
But she gets straight A's.
Oh, no.
And it makes sense that she would get straight A's because most fourth graders don't need to worry about vaccines. So.
If all the kids are chatting, I think Ralphie and Carlos are brainstorming. Like, if they said that vaccines can change your body later, does that mean that you could get superpowers if you get vaccines, or if you don't? Do they stop you from getting cool?
No, they don't, stupid ass. Sit down.
Never mind.
I think that idea was ill-considered at best.
Oh, Carlos.
I like how nobody says the enthusiastic Carlos on this show. It's just like, Carlos, you piece of shit.
I'll get you one of these days.
You deserve death.
Get wrecked, Carlos. All right, so I guess we're driving towards Phoebe's cousin's house.
Yeah. So, I think we pull up in front of the...
It's a big gothic mansion, right?
Of course it is.
Based
of course
on the tone
it is.
Of
Lightning
this
cracks
game.
In the yeah. background.
And I think once we pull up, the Frizz says, all right, class, I think we're going to pay a visit to... If you don't mind, Phoebe, I think we're going to have a visit to your cousin since he can't come to school. Let's bring school to him.
At my old school, we couldn't visit other people's houses.
That's dumb.
Okay. If you say so, Miss Frizz.
And I think what I want to happen is I want to have the bus transform into, like, in the same way that Liz is a plague doctor, I want bus to transform into, like, a big spooky cloud that, like, rolls into his room.
So I think that the way this looks is, so the bus starts spinning, right?
Yes.
Because that's all the way these transformations work.
The transmogrification.
The children are still, like, intact on the little, like, seat parts of everything. So everything that's happening around them is the transformation. And what's happening around them is that the bus is, like, disassembling in front of their eyes and swirling around and turning into a noxious yellow gas all mm-hmm. around them. So they're just, like, sitting on, like, a clear bus, basically, but rotating around them is, like, the equivalent of, like, a plague of locusts and disgusting, nasty, yellow bus-shaped things. Mm-hmm. And gears and wheels, because it's, like, still a bus. But.
Yeah. And so it just, like, rolls slowly into the house. And Philip is the name of... So Philip's in his room.
Like, Philip Robert.
Philip Robert.
Philip yes. Robert is, like, quietly studying his books because he just wants to go to school. And the smoke starts seeping underneath his door. And the door starts rattling and shaking. And he looks up and looks kind of afraid. And he locks his door and runs quickly away from it. And then all of a sudden the door bursts open and forms into the cloud of a ghost man in front of his face. And he starts screaming.
And Keisha starts saying, oh, bad. Oh, bad. Oh, bad, bad, bad. What happened to him, Miss Frizzle?
Children, I think the best way to understand how vaccines work is to go straight to the source.
Carlos says, Miss Frizzle, our enthusiasm is infectious.
Carlos.
Carlos, you're going to die soon.
Yes!
Phoebe, have you ever been inside your cousin? You're going to. Let's go!
So now that the yellow cloud has infected Robert Philip, who is looking visibly ill, some of the cloud seeps back towards where the children are, and like it, the bus does its second transformation, which mm-hmm. is
the bus turns into a truly enormous needle, truly terrifying. The way that it works, like the bus's eyes are like the two like finger holders, yeah. And then and wow. like his grill, it becomes like the measuring parts of it,
yes.
And the students have all like are like suspended in liquid,
yes.
and they're just inside the vial and looking out toward the outside of the room.
Arnie's banging on the glass.
Oh my god.
I think
Janet looking.
Janet
hates needles.
Janet is inside the needle. She's fine.
Okay.
She's just looking out and she's like, no, I don't believe this. This is I like magic, but this, I don't know about this.
This seems a little contrived.
It's a little, you know, I've seen this before.
Well, this is just smoke and mirrors. You can see right back there, there's somebody.
You can see the wires.
We just saw the smoke.
Yeah.
So
I think that, like, while everyone is, like, suspended in the vial, this is where they had, like, that debrief discussion about, like, what are we going to do? This is where we start suiting up, and this is the part before we actually go on the next part of the journey.
Cool. So let's talk about the suiting up process, basically. Yeah. So let's cut back to, like, before the bus turns into a vaccine needle, because the kids need to, like, have suited up before then. They're going to have, like, it's a standard issue magic school bus, like, outfit with, like, it's basically just a spacesuit. They're always in spacesuits.
Space or a scuba suit.
Suits with a picture of the bus on the chest, right? Mm-hmm. But Frizz, you said that they don't have enough suits for everyone, so how are we going to handle that?
So they can start getting into their suits, and then, you have an idea?
Oh, never mind, it doesn't work because they're 9 and that's not how sharing suits works. I was going to say, if we're shipping Tim and Phoebe, like, how would they share a suit? How would that be possible? But it can't work that way.
It could be a big adult suit, right?
It could be a big kid suit. It could be one of Frizz's exes, and it's the suit that they used to use.
Oh my gosh.
I was going to say Janet stole Arnie's while he was, like, sobbing with his eyes covered. She just took his suit.
Oh.
I really like that idea. So, like, all the kids are getting their suits on. Janet has stolen Arnie's suit, and then Frizz turns around. Arnold, why aren't you suited up?
I don't know where it is.
Oh, no worries. I have an extra. And it's like a full-on scuba tank, old-timey head suit, so he only has the head part. So he's, like, going to be wobbling along really slowly entire time. Yeah.
So that is butt of the joke. I'm going to give you another fake point.
But, Miss Frizz, if vaccines keep us safe and healthy, isn't it dangerous to be somewhere that with someone who isn't vaccinated?
Well, what a great question. Anyway, let's get going.
I guess I'm envisioning that you guys basically are injected into Robert Phillip now, Philip Robert?
Yes, and I would also like everyone to be sharing one air source.
Okay, we can let that happen.
So, like, everyone is good. It's like you're all, like, attached to the same tube.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's the air source is the magic school bus.
Yeah.
And it's, like, got the tendrils.
You all have tubes directly going into the magic school bus, and you all have discrete tanks. Except one, because there's 9 of you, right? So one person has their own. Janet. Janet's selfish and has her own tank.
Yeah. So before we inject ourselves into Philip, Phoebe tries to tell him that it's okay, but. Or, like,
from inside the glass, can you hear?
Or no, or like
I'm just banging, and I'm like, I've got a book up against the glass. It's got a diagram, and I'm like,
this is what's
with a
happening.
Thumbs up.
And Philip can't even see you, and all you see is him coughing sadly.
Oh, no. I want to also say
he's starting to cry a little.
Wanda during this whole thing is like, come on, you Weasley whip, let's do this, Phoebe. You ready?
Phoebe closes the book and continues suiting up morosely.
Keisha turns to Miss Frizzle and says, Miss Frizzle, what disease does Robert have?
Oh, what disease? How very interesting. There are many diseases that you can get. Originally from the human race had been wiped out. Perhaps a whooping cough. Perhaps a polio or some such. Diseases that mankind has decided we're just done with. But all of you are very healthy young children, are you not? I thought it might be interesting to see what would happen if a new disease were to be spread amongst a population. What would happen, and who would be well, and who would not be well? So, our young friend here has bus pox. Oh, and how ironic. I believe so does everyone else.
Carlos stands up and says, a pox on all our houses!
Carlos.
And then he coughs.
Carlos.
Pathogen has been introduced to a newly unimmune population. Come on, everyone. Seatbelts.
So we all strap in, and Yeah, I wish that there was a way to make my voice turn into a minor key, because I really want like an opera like organ version, minor version of like doop 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 doop, just like really creeping out the.
And so the bus starts to like the plunger starts to plunge, and the only thing Philip can see is an enormous needle going towards him.
So to recap,
Phoebe's got her hand on the outside, but
yeah, and so I don't think Philip even can see the needle necessarily. No. He's just studying, but all the kids have to watch him like watch themselves slowly become injected, and they know they are viruses, and that he also has a virus.
Yeah, so as we're going in, come on, bus, do your stuff, and Ghost stabs right into his jugular vein, like right into his throat.
Screen cuts to black.
Yeah. So Liz also is like doing a little tap dance of happiness, and she's like wearing the creepy plague doctor mask, the effect is very disturbing. Yeah.
And it's a bit disjointed. It's not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Oof. All right. So all of you guys have been injected directly into Phoebe's baby cousin.
So, Phoebe, it seems like you actually like your cousin. What's that like?
That wraps up this week's Magic School Bus Adventure. Tune in 2 weeks for the conclusion of our exciting field trip. Send comments to @adventure_OSN on Twitter. Adventure is part of the One Shot Podcast Network.
Dang, you guys, One Shot met its drive. You guys are the best. Also, this isn't directly related to the One Shot drive, but James said that if the Dungeon Dome backs by August 1st, we get to dye his hair. And I know he hates this idea, and I think it would be really, really funny if we got to do it. So please head over to Kickstarter and search for the Dungeon Dome. And, you know, if you can, see if you can kick a few dollars that way. James says that heroes never die, but it's time to prove him wrong. Be sure to check out all the other great shows on the One Shot Network, including First Watch, and Backstory, and Modifier, and Critical Success, and Talking Tabletop, and Satanic Panic, and Second Watch, and System Mastery, and like, probably two others. See you next time, heroes!